So if we have any who needs to respond in a special way when we're standing and singing that song, by rendering obedience to the gospel, being baptized in water for the remission of sins, allowing the Lord to add you to his church, we trust that you will come at that time. If there are those who find that their lives are not in harmony with God's word, that you will want to make a change, and if need be, confess your erring way, desiring the prayers of your brothers and sisters. Or perhaps you just need prayers offered on your behalf for strength, for courage, or whatever it is that you may be dealing with in your life. We would encourage you also to make your request known. So hymn 538 will be the song that we'll be singing tonight. I call your attention to a very familiar passage in the Bible in 1 Peter chapter 5. And the verse is number 8. 1 Peter chapter 5. And the verse is number 8. Peter says, "Be sober, be vigilant. Because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour." Tonight we are talking about watch out for that devouring devil. Watch out for that devouring devil. To the Christians that were suffering severely for the cause of Christ, Peter warned them about their powerful enemy, who was the devil. These were Christians who were undergoing trying times because of their faith. The devil was out to destroy them as he is to destroy us. The devil is God's enemy. He does all he can to fight against God. He was in heaven at one time, but he got kicked out, and so he knows he can't win against God, so he attacks God through God's people. He tries to destroy their faith in God. And if there's ever a time that is a prime time for destroying someone's faith, perhaps it's the time when things are going so wrong in our lives. Again, these Christians were suffering trials and affliction because of their faith. So again, Peter says, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, he walking about seeking whom he may devour. Peter uses a strong word to describe the work of the devil. And that word is devour. The meaning of the word devour is to eat up greedily or voraciously. And that big word voraciously simply means that he has an insatiable appetite, which means he wants to eat us up and eat us up and eat as much as up as he can. He's not satisfied with just a little bit of us. He wants all of us. And so he attacks us voraciously. It also means to use up or destroy, to consume or destroy with devastating force. Consider what Jesus said in John chapter 10 and verse 10. Jesus says there that the thief cometh not but for to do what? Steal and to kill and to destroy. But I am come that you may have life and that you might have it more abundantly. He says the thief cometh but to steal, to kill, and to destroy. The thief, again, is an agent of the devil. And so in this passage here, Jesus is making a clear reference, if you will, to the work of the devil. And again, this word devour, as one of its definition, is to use up or to destroy. The devil wants to destroy God's people. And so we ever need to be watchful for him. This evening, I want us to quickly consider five aims of the devil. Or you might call them even objectives. In other words, five things that the devil sets out to do. Number one, the devil aims to devastate human lives. Again, that's one of the definitions of the word devour. To destroy with devastating force. So the devil aims to devastate human lives. And he tried this with a man named Job. And all of us, I'm sure, are familiar with the story. The devil accused God that Job only trusted him because of God's protection, because of God's hedge that he had around him. And he says, in so many words, that the only reason why Job is fearing you is because you are truly protecting him. In essence, if you would just move your protective hand off of Job, I will devastate him, and I will cause him to curse you to your face. The devil wanted to devastate Job. Look what he says in Job chapter 1 and verse number 7. He says this, and the Lord said to Satan, he says, whence comest thou? Then Satan answered the Lord and said, from going to and fro in the earth and walking up and down in it. And the next passage says, and the Lord said unto Satan, hast thou considered that my servant Job, that there is none like him in the earth, a perfect man and an upright man, one that feareth God and escheweth evil? And the next passage says, then Satan answered the Lord and said, doth Job fear God for naught? And the next passage says this, hast thou not made a hedge about him and about his house and about all that he hath on every side? Thou hast blessed the work of his hands, and his substance, the Bible says, is increased in the land. And then the next passage says this, but put forth thine hand now and touch all that he hath, and he'll do what? Curse thee to thy face. That's what the devil is saying to God. The only reason, again, as I've said, is that you've blessed him so much, and you are just hedging him in. You are just protecting him. But if you just remove that hedge, I will devastate him. And he'll curse you to your face. Guess what? God allowed his hedge, if you will, to be temporarily removed. Look at what it says in verse number 12. The Bible says this, and the Lord said unto Satan, behold, all that he has is in thy power. And only upon himself put not forth thine hand. So Satan went forth from the presence of the Lord, the Bible says. And the next passage says, and there was a day when his sons and his daughters were eating and drinking wine in their eldest brother's house. In the passage, and we won't read all of the ones, but it goes on in that first chapter. And you'll see that the devil got busy. All of his children, all of his possessions, all of his camels, all of his substance. Now, if that won't devastate somebody, I don't know what will. The devil aim was to devastate Job. He wants to devastate us. But notice what Job says in verse 20. Job said this. He says, naked came I out of my mother's womb, and naked shall I return. He said, the Lord giveth, and the Lord taketh away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. The devil lost that round. But I want to tell you that the devil will never give up. So he comes back again in chapter 2. He has a conversation with God. God says, okay, in so many words, have him again. But just don't take his life. So what happens to Job then? The Bible says that he was afflicted with sores or with boils from the top of his head to the bottom of his feet. You know what pain that would cause. And I'm sure that as Mrs. Job watched him there suffering and lingering in his pain, that it really devastated her. And so she came out and she says, why don't you curse God and die? But Job refused to be crushed again. Job acknowledged in verse number 10 of chapter 2. Notice what he says in verse number 10. He says this. But he said unto her, thou speakest as one of the foolish women speaking. What? Shall we receive good at the hand of God, and shall we not receive evil? In all this did not Job sin, not with his lips. Job says, we're going to get some evil too. You know, we're not going to get through life without suffering some things. But again, what was the devil's aim? To devastate him. And then his friends, and we won't look at what his friends said, but his friends came to him, and after 7 days, they began to talk. And they began to accuse Job. What was that all about? The devil still trying to devastate him, trying to destroy him. And even as they talked, Job even began to go over things in his mind, if you will, and he began to even question God. But yet, in all of that, he could still say, and though he slay me, I'm going to still trust him. He could still say, I know that my Redeemer liveth, and he shall stand at the latter day upon the earth. What am I saying? I'm saying that even though Job had some questions about what was going on with him in his life, and even on one occasion he says, let the day that I was born, let it be cursed, and all of those kind of things, he still maintained hope in God. He still did not give up totally on God. But again, the devil wanted to devastate him. He wants us to give up totally on God. I'm saying to us tonight, don't let the devil devastate us. Even though we go through all kinds of things in our lives, and sometimes maybe we even ask ourselves, why is all of this happening to me? I'm faithful to God. I'm doing what God wants me to do. Why is it happening to me? Don't let it really crush us. Because if we do, the devil is going to win that battle. And so number one, the devil aims to devastate human lives. But not only that, the devil aims to distort the truth of the gospel of the Lord. Because he knows that if we can get the truth distorted and people fall for a distorted truth, that it renders the power of the gospel ineffective. He knows that the power of God to save is in the gospel. And if he can just get people to distort the gospel of Jesus Christ and people to believe in that distorted gospel, he knows that their souls will be lost. So he aims to distort the truth of the gospel. That was the problem that Paul faced when he wrote to the church at Galatia. There were some folks there that were distorting the gospel. You know what he says in chapter 1? And he was so surprised that there were some that were coming in after they had received the true gospel. I'm paraphrasing what it says, 6 through 9. That there were some that were coming in and they were perverting or distorting the true gospel of Christ. He says, if somebody preach any other gospel other than what you've received, let him be accursed. I don't care if it's a man, I don't care if it's an angel. Why be accursed? Because a distorted gospel will destroy our souls. But the devil wants us to fall for a distorted gospel. Therefore, we must remain true to the gospel. You see, a distorted gospel, again, will destroy our souls. It will affect our destiny. Look at what John says in Revelation 22 as he's about to close out the book of Revelation in verses 17 and 18. He's talking about what will happen because of a distorted gospel. He says, and the Spirit and the bride say, come, and let him that heareth say, come, and let him that is athirst come, and whosoever will, let him take the water of life freely. In verse 18, he says this, for I testify unto you, every man that heareth the words of this prophecy of the book, if any man shall add, that's distorting the gospel, shall add unto these things, God shall add unto him the plagues that are written in this book. And then the next passage, he says that if any man shall take away, we may not have it there, but if any man shall take away, that's distorting the gospel. He says God will take away his portion out of the book of life. What is he saying? You're going to be lost if you add to and if you take away. So I'm saying to us tonight, don't fall for a distorted gospel. Let's make sure that we abide in the pure and unadulterated gospel of Jesus Christ. Because John says again in 2 John chapter 9, whosoever transgresses and abideth not in the doctrine of Christ hath not God, but whosoever abideth in the doctrine of Christ has both the Father and the Son. John is pleading for his hearers to remain true to the pure gospel, because a distorted gospel, a perverted gospel, will affect the destiny of our souls. But the devil's aim is to distort the truth of the gospel. Thirdly, tonight, the devil has as his aim to divide the body of Christ. You see, he's aware of what Jesus says in Matthew chapter 12. He's a man aware of what Jesus says there, even though he was talking about Beelzebub and the devil being divided and that kind of thing. But the principle of it is the same for the body of Christ. In Matthew chapter 12 and verse 25, Jesus knew their thoughts and said unto them, every kingdom divided against itself is brought to what? Desolation, and every city or house divided against itself, what? Shall not stand. If there's anything that the devil wants to see fall to pieces, it's the body of Christ. It's the church of our Lord. But I'm so glad that Daniel was given insight in Daniel 2 in verse number 44. When he says, in the days of these kings shall the God of heaven set up a kingdom that shall not be moved. And he says, it shall stand forever. But the devil's aim is to try to tear it down. Oh, so we need to then sing that song even more. So, Satan, I'm going to tear your house down. Don't let Satan tear the house of the Lord down, but ultimately he will not do it, but he will try his best to tear it down. And one way he does that is to get God's people all divided and fighting against one another. Because he knows if we are fighting against one another, we're not going to do anything for Christ.